thank God, and we're dancing and shouting and celebrating to end this portion of service with that. And for some of you who are more my age, you remember that old melody there. And may I pray that from the dancing and the celebrating to the instrumentation, I pray that that is pleasing to the Lord, and I pray that the simple words of our mouth are pleasing to the Lord. Because that's really all that matters, right? Is that we please the Lord. Pray with me. Jesus, I thank you for a team that can lead us in worship from celebration to soft and intimate. And I pray that everything that has happened so far, from dancing and shouting to simple words, Lord, I pray that it has been pleasing to your ear. Jesus, I thank you that we can come into your presence, that you invite us in. And I pray that over our time together, that you will move, that each and every one of us, when we leave here today, we will leave as followers of you. In your name, Jesus, amen, amen. Well, Rock Church, how's everybody doing? You guys good there today? So it's good to see you. I want to welcome everybody to this service, and you might be watching online or you might be watching on demand. And I also know we have some people during this service watching in Spanish. So would y'all do me a favor and give it up for everybody who is part of our Spanish community? So, man, we're thankful for you and glad that you're with us. And I would say this also, some of you might be new to us here at The Rock, and we're a church that meets in multiple locations all throughout Horry County. And typically we have a big black new here tent outside welcoming people on the campus. And if you're new, it's hard to miss that. So you normally get connected right away. Today, before the first service, myself and Clay, who's one of our other pastors, we were sitting there just talking before anybody really showed up, and all of a sudden the tent just started moving down the parking lot. And we decided that because of the wind, it might not be great to have the tent out there, that we wanted to protect you and protect your vehicles. So we put it up. So if you didn't get connected and you're new here, make sure that you either use that QR code in front of you right there on the chairs, pull out one of those cards that's in the chair back, and you can use it, or just stop by the connect wall on your way out. It's the big LED wall right in the middle of the lobby, because we'd love to connect with you that way. We've got a gift for you as well, all right? Now, you also heard AJ say this, that next week is Easter. So definitely make sure you're making your plans on which Easter service you're going to be at. That we're going to have 5. They're all identical, so you can come to any of them. Some of you will be traveling over the weekend because it's spring break, or you might be going to your in-laws, or you might be going to your mama's house or wherever. Well, Thursday night and Saturday night are great options if you know you're going to be traveling. They're also great options if you want a little bit more of a smaller crowd, all right? That we know that our 10 o'clock next week, our 11:30 next week is going to be really crowded. I'm not telling you not to come. I'm just letting you know it's going to be crowded. So if you like a smaller environment, then make sure you check out Saturday night or Thursday night. We'd love to have you there. And that weekend, throughout the whole weekend, we're going to wrap up this series. And this series has been called Finding Jesus. And in the course of it, we've been going through portions of our life, times in our life, when we find Jesus. Next week, we're going to talk about finding Jesus when you're looking for life. And we'll see in the Easter story, people who are trying to find Jesus, and they found life. And then we're going to add an action step next weekend of baptism. That I'm strongly encouraging everybody who can listen, and everybody who's listening right now, if you are middle school or older, and you haven't taken that step of baptism, Easter is a great time to take it. There's nothing holding you back. Take that step. And we're going to celebrate baptisms at all of our service next week. So I really want to encourage you to take that action step. Because with each message that we've given you in this series, we have given you an action step. Like, for instance, in week 1, we said, when you're finding Jesus when you're looking for answers? Well, the action step there was to simply believe. In week two, we said, finding Jesus when you're looking for help. Well, the action step is to ask. That last week, we said, finding Jesus when you're dealing with regret. The action step is repent. The next week is finding Jesus when you're looking for life. The action step is baptism. Today, we're going to talk about finding Jesus when you're looking for more. And I'll tell you the action step in a minute, but let's just start by that, that I think many of us are looking for more. Now, there's all kinds of different mores that we're looking for. For some of us, we might be looking for more money, all right? And I don't mean that even in a greedy way. I'm not talking about in a wrong or sinful way. I'm just talking about most people will gladly take an extra dollar if somebody's offering it, right? Like, how many of y'all have a job? You work a job, any kind of job. All right. If your boss came up to you and said, hey, we're not going to add any responsibilities. I just like you, so I want to add $1 an hour to your pay scale. Or no more responsibilities. I just want to give you $1,000 extra this year, or maybe $10,000 this year. I don't think any of us would go, no, I'm good. Keep your money. Right? Like we'd all go, okay, yeah, I'll take that extra dollar or I'll take that raise that we like more money. Or here's one. Most of us would like more time. Some of you are students and you'll be like, man, I need some more time to get that project done. Some of you like to sleep. I need some more time to sleep just a little bit more. Some of us are older like me and we'd say, man, I want some more years added to my life. That we want more. Here's one I think that will fit everybody. Most of us want more when it comes to food. Are you with me? Right? You know what I mean? Like I've never met another slice of pizza that I couldn't find room for. You know what I mean? Like I just need two slices. You get down two, like, there's room for more. Right? I'm going to a Mexican restaurant for lunch. When they come out and say, would you like more chips and salsa? Always, because there's always room for more. Or how about this? Those munchkin donuts from Dunkin' Donuts. You know what I'm talking about? Like they got the corner market there. You know what I'm saying? Like I love a Krispy Kreme, a hot Krispy Kreme, that's great. But Dunkin' has figured out the munchkins. And anytime I go and I order them, they're like, do you want like a six pack? Never. I want the 50 pack. And I don't care if it's only me. If I'm getting munchkins, I'm getting the 50 pack. And keep your plain ones to yourself. Give me the cinnamon, give me the blueberry, and give me the jelly filled, right? Like I'll take it because I want more. And we can joke about those things. And it's probably real that we kind of like that. But what is it we really want more of? I think the answer is significance. I think every one of us has this desire to be more significant and for what we do to be more significant. I was reading a book in preparation for this series called Finding Your Way Back to God. It's a great book. It's on our resource page of our website under Sermon Resources. In it, there was an interview between a guy named Daniel M. and Bob Buford. I've talked about Bob Buford from stage before. He wrote a book called Halftime. Phenomenal book, especially for anybody in their 40s or 50s. But the interview, Bob Buford said this about significance. He said, one of people's great fears is running out of money, but that's not their greatest fear. Another significant fear people have is the fear of dying, but that's not people's greatest fear either. He paused. And he said, deep down, our single greatest fear is to live a life of insignificance, to come to the end of our life and to feel like we never really did anything that mattered. And that's our greatest fear. And that's the reason I think I can say confidently that what we want more of is more significance. I especially know this when I work with young adults and maybe some young millennials even, that you want more significance. That sure, you want a job that pays good money. Sure, you want those kind of things. But more than anything, I think you want a job that is significant. That you want to say, if I'm going to spend my time doing this, I want my time to be significant. I want my organization to be significant. I want what I want my place in the organization to be significant. And I want what we do to be significant. That there's this longing for significance that I think all of us have, but especially when we talk this gen. Well, here's the beauty. If you want more significance, I believe the answer is this simple. Find Jesus. It's that simple. Just find Jesus. Because what Jesus gives us is a more significant purpose and more significant relationships. And I can say that based off, we look at the people who were the early followers of Jesus. And we call them the 12 disciples. That what we see in their life is they had a more significant purpose that they found and a more significant relationship they found because they found Jesus. We see this when we simply look at the Bible. In the book of Luke, which is a biography a guy wrote about Jesus, it says this. One day, as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. Let me pause there. I think we can visualize it, but Jesus starts to teach some people, and as he's teaching some people, some start gathering around, and then more gather around, and then more gather around. Eventually, he's out of room, and because he's out of room, he makes a decision. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got up into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little to the shore. Then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. That I want you to see something in that part of the text. It's a little bit of a side sermon, but I think it's so important for us to catch. I want you to notice what Jesus did and what he didn't do. What he did is he got into Peter's boat. What he didn't do was ask Peter if he could get into Peter's boat. He just did it. And I think that's important for us all to recognize because here's the reality. Jesus will never ask you if he can interrupt your life. Jesus is not going to ask you if he can invade your life. Jesus is just going to interrupt and invade your life because he wants to make a difference in your life. So he's going to do it. So be ready right now, me, you, all of us together. There's going to come times in our life where Jesus is going to interrupt and he's going to invade. Yet when he does it, he always asks us, would you like to partner with me? See, I want you to see that in Peter, that he just jumped into Peter's boat, but then he asked Peter not to use his boat, but he asked Peter, hey, Peter, do you want to put me out to shore just a little bit? He interrupted his life and then said, Peter, do you want to join me in ministry? Do you want to join me in the work that I'm doing? And I think that's what we see when we find Jesus. The story goes on like this. It said, when he finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. Like I think you see the hesitancy in Peter's voice here. Like, hey, preacher man, you've done a good job preaching. I'm a fisherman. How about you do the preaching and I'll do the fishing? You see what I'm getting at here? That is like, Jesus, like, man, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. There's no fish out there right now. And I've just got done cleaning my nets. But because you say so, I'll do it. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. And they came and they filled both boats so full they began to sink. that they displaced the water. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and he said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." That Peter's basically, he came to understand who he is in front of, and he fell down in front of him and said, "Go away from me, Lord. You are wholly different than me. You are wholly different than what I thought. That I don't deserve to be in your presence." But I love what Jesus did. He said this. He said, "Then Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people.' So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him." That's your action step for the day. When I'm looking for more, find Jesus and follow him. That's what happened with Peter right there. That's what happened with Andrew. That's what happened with James. It's what happened with John. All four of those guys are there in this scene, and they see this catch of fish. They see this miracle. They bow down before Jesus, and Jesus says, "Listen, you've been a fisherman, and you've done well at it. You've been able to feed your family. You've been able to make your money. That's all good, but I've got a more significant purpose for you now, and what I want you to do now is go fish for people. I want you to cast the net, but not for fish. I want you to catch people and bring them to me." The significant purpose he has for every one of us is to live his kingdom purpose, and that is help connect others to him. That's it. And when you find that, you'll be willing to say, "I'm all in." Well, when you really get a good view of Jesus, you'll recognize the value of Jesus and will be willing to say, "I'm in. I'll pull my boats to the shore. I'll leave everything and I will follow you." We see Jesus say it another way in a parable. He says this. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field." That a guy, the kingdom of heaven is like this, that a guy sees its value and he says, "I'll give up everything to grab that." And when we say kingdom of heaven, understand what that means. It means Jesus and the work of Jesus. We see it again. Jesus said it this way. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away, sold everything he had, and bought it." That when we understand the value of Jesus, when we find Jesus, we will see our more significant purpose. And our purpose is to cast our nets and fish for people. That we see that in Peter, we see it in James, we see it in John, we see it in Andrew. We see it in other people. We see it in Bob Buford, who I talked about earlier, that he sold everything, bought a new company, and then used that company to fish for people. And we see it in people like C.J. Stroud and Scotty Scheffler. Maybe you know their names. C.J. Stroud is quarterback for the Houston Texans. He was a rookie this year, set all kinds of rookie records. But every time he stepped up to a microphone, he preached Jesus. This is one of his quotes. He says, "Football is my platform. Spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ is my purpose." That he found a more significant purpose. As Scotty Scheffler, the number one golfer in the world right now, he said, "The reason why I play golf is I'm trying to glorify God and all that he's done in my life. I have a bigger purpose." And that is true of you as well. What has God gifted you in that you can use for his purpose? So I want you to think about Peter for just a second, that Peter was a fisherman. And yes, he left it all on the seashore, yet it wasn't the last time that he fished. See, oftentimes when we give things over to God, when we give things over to Jesus, he takes them and returns them to us so that we can use them for his purpose. Peter kept fishing. If you follow the Rock reading plan, just last week we read how one day Peter went out and Jesus said, "I need you to go fish, catch a fish, open its mouth, and you'll find a coin in it." That's my kind of fishing. Are you with me there? You know what I mean? Like one, I caught a fish. That's important. But two, there's money in the fish. I'm all in, right? Well, so Peter got to use how he was gifted. That C.J. Stroud is gifted at football, and he's using it for the purpose of God. That Scottie Scheffler is gifted at golf. He's using it for the glory of God. Maybe you play on an athletic team. It's not about the victories. It's not about scoring. It's about the purpose of God and helping people know Jesus. Maybe you drive a truck for a living. There's a greater purpose, a more significant purpose. Keep driving the truck, but drive the truck with the idea of who can God bring into my path today that I can share his word with. Maybe you're an educator. That use that education, use that teaching opportunity to invest in kids, to invest in teachers, to invest in parents. That it doesn't mean you have to stop doing that. What it means is that I've got to use it for the glory of God. I've got to use it to cast the net. Maybe you're in the medical field. And in the medical field, you're saving lives. That's obviously hugely significant. But instead of just saving lives physically, what about casting a net so that you save them spiritually as well? Maybe you're going to school. It's not about just going to school. It's about going to school on mission with a purpose. Because when we understand Jesus, when we find Jesus, he gives us a greater purpose. And that more significant purpose leads to more significant relationships. Think about this for just a second. If my purpose is to help people connect with Jesus, then what that means is every relationship I have has more significance now. Because there are people that you know who don't know Jesus. And that is a relationship now that you have that you can use to connect into Jesus. You have relationships with people who do know Jesus. That relationship now has more significance because now I'm going to do my part to help them better connect with Jesus. So whether somebody has a faith in Christ, is following Christ, or whether somebody doesn't, every relationship has more significance because of your purpose. We see that in Matthew. Matthew was another follower of Jesus. That Matthew one day was sitting at his tax collector's booth. This is how it reads. It says, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him. And Matthew got up and he followed him. That he lived out the action steps. Now, I want you to think about Matthew for a second. I'm not going to go deep into his biography because I've done it a couple times in the last couple months. But Matthew is an outcast. Matthew is a guy who wasn't expecting to come in contact with Jesus. Jesus, holy man, rabbi. Yet one day, just a normal day at work, Jesus passes by. He looks at Matthew and he says, get up, follow me. And Matthew, looking for more, got up and followed him. That the relationship that he established with Jesus became very significant, so close that he was able to follow him, that he ended up being able to write a biography about Jesus. And many of the things we know about Jesus right now comes because Matthew had a significant relationship with him. But it wasn't just Jesus. Matthew had a significant relationships with a bunch of non-Christians, a bunch of people who were not followers of Jesus. That we read at the very next verse says this way, while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. I want you to see what's going on. That Matthew develops a relationship with Jesus. And he's like, this guy's changing my life. This guy said that I could follow him. But then Matthew saw all of his, as religious people would call it, notorious sinners who were friends. Tax collectors, drunkards, prostitutes. And Matthew looked at all those friends who were far from God. And he said, these people are significant to me. And I want these people to connect with this guy. So Matthew ended up being the bridge because he understood the significance of his friends. And he said, hey, Jesus, would you come to my house today? And Jesus said, sure. And then he looked at his friends and he said, friends, would you come to my house today? And Matthew became the bridge that connected these people to Jesus. He was living out his kingdom purpose. And we need to do the same. Which leads me to a simple question today. If I find Jesus and follow him, because that's my action step, it leads to a more significant purpose and more significant relationships. If that's true, how are we doing at following Jesus? How are we doing? Because if you're not living out your kingdom purpose to cast a net, then I think you can answer, I'm not following very well. Even though we might call ourselves followers, if we're not living out that kingdom purpose, how well are we actually following? Since he said that's what our job is. Or if we're not investing in significant relationships, well, how well am I following? So what I want to do for the next 8 minutes is I want to boil this down. I want to simplify it. If you're a note taker, here's the application steps. How do I follow Jesus better? Three simple words. Invest, invite, intercede. You want to follow Jesus better? You want to live out your kingdom purpose? You want to have more significant relationships? Invest, invite, intercede. Here's what I mean by that. That my relationship with Jesus needs to be significant, and the only way that's really going to be significant is if I invest in it. That I've got to make sure I'm investing in my relationship with Jesus. You're at church right now, all right? Which means you're investing in your relationship with Jesus. That's great. That's God-honoring. We need to do that. But if the only time we invest in our relationship with Jesus is the 1 hour we're at church, then that relationship is not going to be very good. Okay? I can just tell you that right now. That we got to invest more. For those of you who are married, if you said, I'm going to invest 1 hour a week with my spouse. I'm going to talk to my spouse 1 hour a week, and the rest of the week, I'm on my own. Well, your marriage is not going to be very good. I got to invest. So you got to invest in that relationship with Jesus. How do you do it? Listen to his word. And look at his life. And again, right now, we're listening to his word. We're opening it up. We're seeing what his word had to say. That's good. But I got to do that on a daily basis. Every day, I got to spend some time listening to his word. And that could be reading it. That could be listening to it, like literally listening to it, maybe in your car. That could be sitting in a small group or a small group experience, listening to it. But I got to make sure I'm investing. I'm listening to his word. I'm looking at his life. And then I'm going and doing likewise. And I know you might go, well, Josh, I don't even know where to start. Download the Rocks app. It's called the Church Center app. And then pick the Rock Church as your church. And when you download that app, there's a button. Just says Bible. Every day, I'll just tell you this personally. Every day, I hit that button. Every day. Because I need to invest in my relationship with Jesus. And I hit that button, Bible, it tells me what I need to read that day. And if you do that, then what you'll be doing is we'll be reading the exact same thing. Many of our people at church read it every day. Many of our pastors on staff read it every day. We have people in our church who write discussion questions to help you kind of navigate way through it. So you might go, I don't know how to invest. Well, that's the easy way. Listen to his word. Look at his life. Go and do likewise. And then invest in my relationship with Jesus, but then also I got to invest in my relationship with others. You have a friend, a classmate, a neighbor, a coworker. If they don't know Jesus, you got to invest in that relationship. You can't avoid them. You can't run away from them. No, I got to invest in it because I want them to connect to Jesus. I want to cast my net and I want to fish for men. It's the purpose God has given us. So I got to invest, which means this. I got to put it on my calendar. I know for me, I put it in my to-do list. I put it on my calendar. I put times there that I know I'm going to make sure I'm investing in other relationships. I got to invest in other relationships of people who do know Christ. I got to serve with them. I got to sit at a small group experience with them. Then I got to invest. And then I have to invite. I got to invite Jesus into my life. I got to invite Jesus to journey with me. And probably the better way for me to say that is I got to accept Jesus's invitation to join him. Just as Peter had to accept Jesus' invitation, we have to accept Jesus' invitation and join in with Jesus and say, Jesus, I want to follow and I want to do what you've called me to do. So I wake up in the morning and I invite Jesus along, but what I'm really doing is saying, Jesus, I want you to journey with me and I'm going to listen to what you have to say and I'm going to go and do it. I got to invite Jesus. Then I got to invite others into that same walk. I got to look at people and say, I want to invite you to journey with me as we journey towards Jesus. I want to invite you to serve with me. I want to invite you to go to small group experience with me. I want to invite you to come to church with me. I want to invite you to come to Easter with me. And listen, you've got those cards, and I want you to go out, and I want you to hand them out to everybody. But what I don't want you to do is hand them to somebody and say, hey, our church is having Easter. Like, most people would go, duh. I think every church is having Easter. I want you to hand them the invite and say, hey, my church has 5 services. Which one will you come and sit with me at? Sit with me at? I got a seat for you. You just tell me what time you want to go to church, and I'll meet you in the lobby. I'll meet you in the parking lot. We'll sit together. Because I want you to come with me. I don't want you just to go to church. I want you to come with me. And there's a seat for you. Invite people into the journey with you. And then intercede. Intercede is a fancy word for prayer. It just means pray. That if I'm going to be a follower of Jesus, I got to pray. I got to talk to him. I got to have conversations with him. But then I also want to pray to him about people that I want to intercede on their behalf for. That I want to pray for this person to come to know the Lord. I want to pray for this person to find healing, not just over their physical ailments, but over their soul. I just want to pray. I just want to knock on heaven's door over and over and over, because this relationship, it is significant, and I want them to find significance in Jesus. So I'm going to knock, and I'm going to knock, and I'm going to knock, and I'm going to ask God to move in their life. I'm going to ask God to open a door for me. I'm going to ask God to open a door for somebody else. I'm going to ask them for them to maybe come to church with me, or if they won't go with me, to go to a different church with somebody else. I just want to make sure that they get connected to Jesus. So I intercede. And I pray. How do I follow Jesus? I invest in my relationship with him. I invite him to journey with me. I pray to him as I invest in others. As I invite others to journey with him. As I pray on behalf of others. Which makes me ask one more time, if that's true, how are you doing at following Jesus? How am I doing at following Jesus? For those of us who have said, man, I'm a follower of Christ, well then ask, are you living out a more significant purpose? Am I living out more significant relationships? Am I investing, inviting, and interceding? And if you say, well, not really very well, today's the day to make a commitment to change that. to be the very best follower of Christ you can be. But I also know there's some here today who, if you're real, if you are honest, you're like Matthew sitting at a tax collector's booth. That you're not following Jesus yet. But maybe today is the day that Jesus is passing by. And even right now, as he's passing by and he's saying, come follow me, today's the day to get up from that table and go follow him. Today's the day to leave the boats at the shore and follow him. Today's the day to change everything in your life and to find something of more significance, and that is Jesus. And then he'll give you a more significant purpose and more significant relationships. So if you're not a follower of Christ, I beg of you, make a decision today. I'm going to be hanging out in the back of the room at that Connect Corner. I've got some friends that are back there. We would love to pray with you about that step with Christ. I want you to do me a favor as a church. Let's go ahead and stand right now. And we're going to go into this time. And again, like I said, it's a perfect time to evaluate. If I'm finding Jesus and I'm wanting more significance, am I finding it in him because I'm following? If you need to take communion, if you need to spend some time praying, do whatever you need to do to make that commitment strong. And if you're not following at all, make a decision right now to do as Matthew did and to get up and to go. And I'd love to pray with you about that. Let's pray together. Jesus, we come to your altar. We come in your presence. Thank you for the significance you put on our lives, and help us to look at you in the same way. In your name, Jesus.